opportunity, Warren. Kia ora, I'd love you to talk to you, Ehoa.
Kia ora, Catherine. Today I am standing on Busby Head. Well, part of Busby Head, which is sort of a part of the same big promontory that Bream Head is on. So that gives you the idea. Entrance to Whangarei Harbour. To the south of me, I'm just looking at a boat fishing for kahawai. There's a boil of kahawai just off Smuggler's Cove. And then right around on the horizon is a white ribbon of sand, which is Bream Bay, coming right round to Marsden Point oil refinery. And then across the heads of the harbour, the narrow heads of Whangarei Harbour, and then there's Manaia on the with its exposed rock on the summit, in which you can, you know, it's very hard not to see faces in that glorious collection of standing rocks on the summit of Manaia, and then around to Urquhart's Bay. But right behind me is a gun emplacement, which this very strategic point, and as you know, during the 1940s, these most strategic places were used. I see on the sign here, the historical interpretation sign, that this place was operational in 1942 as, quote, Japan cut swathes through the Pacific, moving southward at an alarming rate. So this was one of the places where a big field gun was installed. It was only fired three times, just test shots. One of its firings, the projectile travelled an astonishing 12 miles. So it was a very big machine, a very big gun. I love these places, as you know, where your historical imagination is activated by the landscape. And it's so fascinating to read that the entire gun encampment and its associated buildings were disguised to look like a farmhouse. So the battery observation post was sort of blasted into a rocky outcrop and then had small stones cemented into the roof just to complete the illusion. And the actual gun emplacement here would have had camouflage nets over the top. So the whole thoughtful, cunning plan to disguise the thing should a Japanese warship actually make it down this far. After a year, it was abandoned. So that was it, a short-lived piece of history right here. So that's where I am, and feeling ebullient. So lovely to have had my first trip north to the places, the landscapes that I love so much. And coming through the police checkpoint at Urutiti, which is sort of midway along Bream Bay, north of Waipu Cove, and almost even a festive air at the checkpoint with a lot of police officers waving cars through. Went through very quickly, very efficiently run. But you almost got this infectious sense of being able to finally come through to Northland. And I know that this is a mixture of emotions here, because we're all very conscious of Northland being one of the places with yet to achieve high vaccination rates. So the places I've went to, I would be cautious about going too off the beaten track in Northland, but just to go back to the place where my father was born in Russell, and just to be there and experiencing, I guess, the major emotion and the major feeling was the quietness and the serenity of the place. And I don't think, it probably sounds a little bit entitled and privileged, but the constant thrum of noise and low-level background activity in Auckland, which drops away in a place like Russell, and you just become aware of the serenity that you've been missing. But it was very very special. And again, just to sit on the veranda next to Pompalia House and feel the historic connection of Kororarika, such a historic place, being reconnected and reactivated in your mind as you I was imagining those waka hauled up on the on the beaches and crisscrossing back to Waitangi and Paihia, where the missionaries were based. Just on historical connections, I'm thinking about islands at the moment because in early January I'm guiding a New Zealand Geographic Heritage Expeditions trip around the Hauraki Gulf Islands. And I took a little preview of one of the islands that I haven't spent much time on, Motukuria, Brown's Island, just off Tāmaki Estuary. Motukuria, the island of oyster catchers, and indeed the island was full of, the shoreline had an abundance of oyster catchers and also dotterel. And again, a lovely sense of history there. The Browns part of Motukuria in its name is from Logan Campbell's partner. And Logan Campbell and his partner owned that island for a time. But one of the interesting parts, walking along the shoreline, so many shards of copper turned green with the verdigris. And I'm pretty sure that copper is from the sheathing of steam ferries from the Devonport Steam Ferry Company. And I've seen a photograph of early photograph from the early 1900s of ferries left to just to quietly disintegrate in Browns Island. I mean, today that would just never happen intentionally to decide, oh, well, we're done with this ferry. We'll just abandon it in a bay and let it quietly rot away to nothing. Picked up a beautiful shard of timber with copper nails, green from the verdigris seeping into the timber. The wood riddled with shipworm, timber turned into a catacomb of tunnels and galleries. And there was this, again, the sense of just stepping back 100 years to an earlier time in that place. And just also on the subject of islands, I took part in the launch of Tim Higham's book, Island Notes, about his time, recent life in Aotea Great Barrier. And he asks in the book, what does it mean to belong to a place not of your birth or kin, but one that says home, not a place of comfort, but one that calls you beyond into the unknown? And it's a lovely book about getting your geographical bearings and I think re-establishing your philosophical bearings. Here's a person who went to work on the island but finds that the island is working on him. Very much a book about embracing, deliberately embracing uncertainty and unknowing when, in fact, the main streams and trends in society are in the direction of seeking greater certainty and greater knowing. And of course, you know, with COVID, the uncertainty has been profound and it's very destabilizing. But in a way, we need to be destabilized in so many ways, you know, because the certainties that we've clung to are not serving the planet well. So an interesting book and a lovely story.
Wonderful. So,
yep.
Thank you, Kennedy. You're going to save my favourite quote for Christmas Eve. I think I do love it, and I can't think how appropriate it is for us going into our holidays, those of us who are lucky too. But thank you for today, and we'll look forward to talking to you on Christmas Eve. Kennedy Warne speaking to us from Urquhart's Head above Urquhart's Bay.